Let us pray. Lord Jesus, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Amen. Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. Now, what do you think it would take to feed the 331 million people in our country for not just one meal, but for every meal? How much money would it take? What if we had a king who can create from nothing all that we ever need, all the food we could ever eat? What if we happened to stumble on such a person with such an ability? Would you want to make him king? Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew. You can imagine this desire to coronate Jesus on the spot, but he would have none of it. Imagine with me the disappointment, not only of the people, but even of the disciples, as Jesus withdraws to the mountain alone after miraculously feeding 5,000 hungry families. Jesus, now is the time. They're exalting you as king, just like they exalted David after the death of Saul. You're the son of David, aren't you? Why are you resisting the will of the people to make you king? Plus, who in their right mind turns down the opportunity to be king? And we have in our American memory that when George Washington was commander in chief, this is a legend, who knows whether it actually happened, that King George asked an American painter in his court what Washington was likely to do when peace and the war came and his presidency over. The painter replied that Washington would probably just return to his farm. The king was astounded. If he does that, the king said, he will be the greatest man in the world. Grain of irony there, not irony, but rather grain of truth. That is, the history of the world really can't be told for 5 minutes without bringing up the struggle of men climbing over each other to become king or governor or president, what have you. Yet along came Jesus to the scene, wanting no part of this political race to be king. And we often feel as though the greatest governments in the world are the ones that would take the wealth of the kingdom and share it with everyone who has any need. A society, much like in the book of Acts, where it says they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. But with Jesus as king, a guy who can feed 5,000 families with just 5 loaves and 2 fish and not suffer any inflation, no more running out of someone else's money, this could actually work. And it wouldn't even be a struggle for Jesus to be a worldly king. I mean, he's God Almighty. Think of all he could do. Think of all the people he could help. Think of all the terrorists he could crush. Think of all the prosperity we could have. Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. Imagine that they succeeded. Imagine that Jesus never said at his trial, my kingdom is not of this world. Imagine he did come with the power of God simply to be their bread king, to only and ever just rain down food from heaven, that this world and this life is all there is, but at least we have food aplenty until the day we die. Maybe you're perhaps beginning to see the problem. They wanted to change the order of the world. They wanted to eat, drink, be merry, sit back, relax, where all of us will really, truly own nothing, yet be happy, This would be a great reset of a society. They want to have it then where they're no longer needing to go out in the field to farm, no longer needing to fish, no longer be bakers, innkeepers, mothers even. Rather, we can all simply be bread eaters. We don't need any soldiers, fathers. Meh. We can just simply eat, drink, and be merry. Forget any virtuous purpose and vocations. So we begin to see maybe it doesn't sound so great after all to have a bread king that they wanted to make Jesus into. Yet if Jesus had simply come in this way, we would vote him as our king in an instant. Our stomachs grumble loudly. That we have this strange condition about us, where God has actually implanted in us the thing that we need the most is food. We have this stomach that will tell you as soon as it's empty, it lets you know, and that feeling just takes over. Everything else in the world will bow to your need for food, it seems at times. Jesus, though, is teaching us something. How he didn't come to be a satisfier of that hunger of the stomach. Jesus, as the one who is already king of all creation, he made all, up to that point, he sustained all. He creates out of nothing. He rules as our King of kings and Lord of lords. Nevertheless, he doesn't want anything to do with being this kind of a bread king. Why? Because giving unending bread is not why he came. He didn't need to be baptized to keep the supply chain rolling along. He didn't need the whips and the chains and the nails and a cross and a tomb to keep our stomachs filled. Jesus came into our world and performed many great miracles, feeding, healing, casting out demons. But really, even those things, God didn't need to come in the flesh. In the Old Testament, there were plenty of prophets doing these miracles on God's behalf. So why did Jesus come in the flesh? God in the flesh. Why did he come not merely to feed the 5,000, not merely to cast out demons, not merely to heal, but also to suffer, to be accused, mocked, crucified? It's because he came to be our Savior King. He didn't merely come to reassure you of his always providing of every need of the body, but he came for the soul. To save you, the unjust, the ungodly. Jesus knows and teaches us that our real lack, our real hunger, our real danger is not the lack of bread or fish, clothing, house, home. No, our real problem is a lack of righteousness. The real desperation of our time here is a lack of holiness, a lack of life, what we have inherited in our original sin. So Jesus knew that he must resist this temptation to become king immediately, to become this bread king provider, so that he could be crowned not with gold or diamonds in their time, but crowned with thorns. So that he could be wrapped not in robes of royalty, but in the purple robes of mockery. He had to resist this temptation to be king so that he can be the king who can forgive sins of all of you. So that Paul would be able to write that while we were still weak, still hungry, still clamoring to be king ourselves, still accusing other, while we were still stealing bread from one another, still murdering, still lying, still cheating one another, at just the right time, Christ died for you, the ungodly. God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, the ungodly. He justifies you. You who are by your sinful nature enemies of God, that Jesus came to be able to declare you reconciled with him by the blood of Christ. So that now, having been saved, he delights to provide still the daily bread. Indeed, he provides so abundantly because he truly loves you. Through Jesus, whom God loved first, and who first loved you before you ever even thought to love him. Now through Jesus, you can say that God truly and always, no matter what, richly and daily provides me all that I need, not even just for heaven, but even in this life, this body and life. Now through Jesus and his true coronation, the crowning of the thorns on the throne of the cross, you can say with absolute assurance, he gives me everything that I need, not because I deserve it, but only out of divine goodness and mercy without any merit or worthiness in me. And he speaks this word of truth through the Holy Spirit, working in your fellow Christians, even when you suffer a seeming lack, it's only seeming, he takes care of you, sometimes leading you into your own wilderness, holding back just enough of his gifts of creation for a time, letting your stomach grumble, letting your pain linger, to remind us that we need him, and to remind you that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. To remind you that one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions to be able to eat, drink, and be merry. That instead we have eternity in sight. We have atonement in sight. That allows us now to take up our crosses and follow him, allowing us to be courageous, to be strong and courageous, to be faithful unto death, that we would be able in this day, in this time, with our chronic conditions, with our family struggles, to wear our own crown of thorns, so that you shall be given the crown of life, just as your true King of salvation forever hereafter wears the crown of life, so shall you wear that crown. In the name of Jesus, amen.